again, and welcome to another edition of the Dakota Cast podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Nate Weck. Thanks for joining me once again. My guest this week is KDLO Country's very own John Sieber from the Watertown area. John is originally from Tennessee. He's got family ties there still. He's got a lot of connections with the Tennessee area. And I want to talk to him about the unfortunate news that occurred on Tuesday of this week. Pat Summitt, the legendary University of Tennessee women's basketball coach, passed away at the age of 64. And I want to get John's impression. I want him to tell me a little bit about who Pat Summitt was and if he can give some stories about what she did on and off the court and why she's an inspiration to so many coaches, both in men's and women's basketball today. So let's bring him in, my guest at this time, from KDLO Country in Watertown, John Sieber. How you doing today, man?
Very good, Nate. Thanks for having me on, bud.
Let's talk about Hall of Fame coach Pat Summitt. The pioneer is what ESPN is calling her, the pioneer of women's college basketball. She guided the Tennessee Volunteers to 8 national titles in 38 seasons, and it was unfortunate this week, Tuesday morning, she passed away, age 64. John, how did you react when you heard that news on Tuesday morning?
Just a punch in the gut. I mean, we knew that she was sick, and I still have family down there. They're closely connected to that area and that university, and they kind of got some inside scoops on it. They've been telling me, you know, for weeks and for that she's not doing well, that things were not going to go well for her. And we kind of knew it was pointing to that. But even when you get the news, Nate, you know, when you have a person like that that's made that big of an impact, not just in her field, you know, in her area of expertise, which is coaching basketball, but in the community, when you have a person that has that kind of an impact that's no longer there, there's a void that just can't be filled.
Right, and it's, you know, it's really unfortunate because, you know, she's a Hall of Fame coach. She had 38 seasons, and 8 of those seasons she won national championships. There's a statue of her. Obviously, you know, the Alzheimer's, dementia, those types of things are very serious, very unfortunate illnesses. Her son, Tyler, actually put out a statement, too, on Tuesday morning saying that his mom did die peacefully, and thankfully she no longer has to battle the disease. So if there is any positives that come out of it, it's just that, you know, now she's not having to deal with the Alzheimer's and the dementia side of things. But, you know, talk about the legacy that she has here, too, John. You know, 1,098 victories. I mean, is there ever going to be another Pat Summitt?
In my opinion, no. The good Lord only made one of them. And to show you what kind of an impact. Now, my mom, who knows nothing about sports, a little old mountain lady, born and raised, didn't get past the sixth grade in high school, you know, or in school, only knew 2 college basketball coaches, Nate. Oh, 2. One was Pat Summitt, the other one was Bobby Knight. When you mentioned those 2 coaches' names, my mom would perk right up. And Pat Summitt had, you know, she can have that kind of an impact and that kind of a pull on a little old gal from, you know, from way back in the mountains in Tennessee. Boy, talk about worldwide coverage. But when it comes to Pat Summitt, she's just an old farm girl, you know, from down in a little small town in Tennessee, and who kept her nose right to the grindstone. But this lady worked for everything that she got. She was not afraid of hard work. And you can go back and read the books that Pat Summitt has written, read books about Pat. When she started, she was paid $62 a week to coach the University of Tennessee women's basketball program. Not only was she the coach, she drove the bus, and she did the laundry for these players.
Wow.
And for the team. She put in the work, put in the effort for it, and you can find stories about Pat all the way down, you know, from the time that she first started until, you know, until she quit coaching. And you'll find that Pat Summitt was not only one of the great people in basketball, one of the great coaches, but she's one of the great people. There's so many stories behind the scenes down in Eastern Tennessee of things that Pat Summitt did for families, for individuals, for players, for programs, and for different organizations in that area, and did not want any publicity for it, you know, no recognition at all. She just did it out of the goodness of her heart. She was a great lady.
When you wonder, too, how many coaches, both on for men's and women's hoop in college, that Pat Summitt has helped inspire. Because I even know, after she passed away this week, former USD women's basketball coach Amy Williams, who is now the women's basketball coach at the University of Nebraska, she tweeted out and said that this was like her idol. She was inspired by what Pat Summitt did. So it makes you wonder how far down Pat Summitt's legacy will trickle and live through the lives of so many other coaches in college hoops.
I think we'll be talking about Pat Summitt, you know, 50 years from now, and the impact that she had on the sport, not just in women's basketball, but in basketball in general. But when it comes to the women's side of basketball, Nate, I don't think we would have these overflowing crowds at the NCAA state tournaments, at the NCAA championships. I don't think we'd have UConn. I don't think we'd have, you know, teams like North Carolina, Duke, Notre Dame without Pat Summitt coming first and paving the way for these other teams and coaches and players.
Now, John, you've also met Pat Summitt, correct?
We've had the occasion to just kind of bump into one another. And I didn't get the stare, Nate.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
we're down at Thompson Bowling Arena, and it just amazes me when you have a university as big as the University of Tennessee. In the summertime, it's pretty much open access to people that are down there. You know, you can just walk on campus. You can visit Pratt Pavilion, the practice pavilion. Going to Thompson Bowling Arena, there's all kinds of camps and different things going on. Hit Neyland Stadium, and the University of Tennessee, the campus is just wide open in the summertime. And we were down there just going through some things here 6-7 years ago. And me and my brother, we kind of wandered around over on the campus, just went over to see what was going on for that day. And we turned a corner and almost run right over Pat Summitt.
Oh,
and
no.
Thankfully, it was my brother's almost sitter. It wasn't me.
Oh, that's good.
And we just kind of back up, and the first words out of my mouth are, "Coach, I'm sorry." And she just kind of looked at me and said, that's okay, and just kept on trucking. She was, didn't ask us what we were doing there, just took for granted we knew what we were doing, where we were going. But just an absolutely great lady. She never hesitated to take pictures with people. I have several family members, you know, that would catch her out shopping and out about town, would ask her to take pictures, and Pat Summitt never once refused them. My first cousin for her son Tyler's wedding actually was the one that delivered flowers and set up some flower arrangements for Tyler's wedding, and he was talking about what a great lady that Pat was.
Oh, wow.
Never once was crossed with him, you know, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. She just make here's the coaching side, Nate. She would make suggestions on how to make it better.
Oh, of course. That's the Pat Summitt way.
Yeah, that's just the way she did things. But everywhere there's a girl that picks up a basketball for the first time and starts bouncing it, is out practicing, I think you can point back to Pat Summitt creating that excitement and that kind of interest in women's basketball, not just in the state of Tennessee, but all across the nation. And we were down in March. We were down in Sioux Falls for the NCAA Women's Regional, and Tennessee was there. And the amount of orange in the stadium, and the amount of Tennessee fans can be directly linked back to Pat Summitt and the legacy that she started, and the reputation that Pat Summitt had.
Again, I'm joined with John Sieber, KDLO Country. You know, you did mention that back in her early days here, John, that she was the one driving the bus. She was the one doing the laundry and doing things like that for the team and not just coaching. Does that just kind of speak to the kind of person that she is, as just she'll just do whatever she needs to do to get things done and to be successful, not just on the court, but just in general in life?
You know, Nate, I really think so. She would. Pat came from a farming background, where her parents were very strict. She had, chores that she had to do. She had certain things that she had to do, and didn't. If she wanted to, you know, to play basketball and to have, you know, to go out and do her own thing, that she had to take care of her responsibilities first. And that's the kind of the workmanship attitude that she carried over to her coaching, and it really showed with the things she demanded of her players. And I had a coach a few years ago tell me, he said, we were talking about players, and he told me, he said, "Sieber, if you want to get something done on a basketball court or on a football field or no matter the sport, you want to have success, you get a couple of farm kids out there and turn them loose." And Pat Summitt really epitomized that background, you know, that responsibility and the work ethic that she had.
Do you think Tennessee knew that when they hired her on that she was going to be as successful as she was? You know, I'm sure that they knew part of the character and things like that, but do you think anybody could have predicted the kind of legacy that she would leave behind, having being the winningest coach in both, you know, for both men's and women's hoops? She's the most winningest coach. Did anybody predict that?
I don't think so. You probably, you know, if you ask Pat, she would just, she probably would tell you, well, we knew we were going to be successful. I was right. reading a story from one of the sports writers down there that was for the first time when Tennessee was first ever number one ranking in Pat Summitt's career. And this was before, you know, Twitter and Instagram and the internet. They got over the old teletype. And this was the late 70s when the tennis, women's basketball was just getting going. And it was Tennessee and Old Dominion and Louisiana Tech. I mean, those were the teams. Old Dominion was the team. And the Tennessee had beaten them and went to the number one spot. And the sports writer got the information from the old AP teletype, rushed over to Pat Summitt. And in those days, Nate, her office was kind of like a little supply closet there at the old Stokely Athletic Center, way back underneath. You know, you go as far back as you can, take a left, and there's Pat Summitt next to the mops and buckets. And he pushed in, and he told her, he said, Coach, just breathless, you just voted number one. And Pat looked at him and went, huh, how about that? And it took everything in stride.
Wow.
And that's just the way she was. But as far as predicting what she would eventually become to basketball, no, there's no way. But you knew with the work ethic that she had and the things that she demanded of her players that there was going to be success down the line.
Do you have a favorite on the court moment, John, of Pat Summitt? Like, what are some of your earliest memories where you're like, "Whew, this coach is a good coach"?
You know, the thing that always got me with Pat was the way she could look at a player. And I've only seen that in one other coach in my lifetime. And Pat Summitt could look at a player and you would see them visibly wince. I mean, when she looked at them and that put that stare on them, you could just see the player would just visibly would just kind of hunker down like somebody had hit them or something. And for me, it was with Candace Parker. Parker had just blown a layup and pulled some boneheaded play. And Pat, they took a timeout right after. And I forget, I think they were playing LSU. And they took a timeout, and Pat just stared Candace all the way back to the bench. Parker didn't even dare raise her head up to look at her. She just kept her head down and stumbled her way over to the bench and sat down. And Pat never once took her eye off of her. I mean, just all – and they broke away for commercial on the TV coverage, and you start thinking, boy, did she stare at her the entire time they were gone?
Sometimes you don't even have to say anything.
Yeah, don't have to say a word. The only other coach that I saw that could do that was Dusty LeBeau. And Dusty had that same quality where he could just look at a player and they would know they're in trouble.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, some coaches just have that intensity look. And definitely, I mean, I can still see it in my mind through all the highlight videos. You can see that look that Pat Summitt would have when the game was close and, you know, that intensity, that drive that just didn't stare into your eyes. It stared right through you. And you can totally see that with Pat Summitt. One last question, John, and then I'll let you go. But is there a coach today, men's and women's hoops, and I'll even include the professional level in here, is there a coach today that you feel closely resembles to who Pat Summitt was?
Boy, good question. Are you talking about Pat early years or Pat later years?
You know what? Just for the sake of the question, let's just whatever one you want to go with.
I'll tell you the coach right now that on the professional level that really impresses me is Billy Donovan. With what he does with his players and even when he's at Florida. Now, granted, I'm an old Tennessee guy, and we don't like Florida very much.
Right.
But you have to respect coaches that coach and teach players the right way. And Billy Donovan is one of those guys. I mean, he's probably one of my favorite coaches going right now.
All right, John. Well, thanks so much for taking some time to talk some Pat Summitt with us again. Pat Summitt passed away age 64. And, John, also thanks for all the hard work you do with South Dakota Public Broadcasting as well during the basketball tournaments with you and Gary. Always do a great job with that, and we'll see you down the road.
Hey, Nate. No problem, brother. Looking forward to seeing you guys in March next year.
All right. You take care, bud. All right. We'll talk to you later. Again, that was John Sieber of KDLO Country in Watertown. John, of course, is one of the best in the business when it comes to this. He always helps us out for South Dakota Public Broadcasting during state tournament time. Him and Gary Allenbolt always do games together. I had the privilege of being in Huron for the Girls Class B tournament this past year and got the chance to sit down, hang out with Sieber basically for 3 days. And I tell you what, it was a lot of fun. He's a good guy, very good dude to work with. And obviously he's got a lot of stories out there, all across the board. And you heard what his comments were regarding Pat Summitt and what his reaction was to it. And his is just one. There's thousands of people who have stories out there regarding Pat Summitt. And if you don't know who she is, I strongly encourage you to go out and check out who this coach was, because she is truly a legend. And we're not just saying that. She is one of the greatest coaches, men's and women's combined, of all time. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Dakota Cast Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes if you want to hear more. Just go to the iTunes Podcast section and search for SDPB Dakota Cast. You can also keep up with us year-round by connecting with us on social media. You can like SDPB Sports on Facebook, and you can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at SDPB Sports. And for additional programming information with television, radio, all the great stuff that South Dakota Public Broadcasting produces on an annual basis, visit us online, sdpb.org. I'm Nate Weck for South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Have a wonderful 4th of July weekend, everyone.